The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
You're tuned in to No Quarter Radio.
I'm at a Herman at Kermit McDermott with a learner's permit, curb serving, and a purple suburban soap, and a nervous sherbet needing a turnip with the words dirty, dirty written in cursive on his Burberry turban.
Oh, snap. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first edition of No Quarter Radio as hosted on the Orange Ive Network. I'm your host, Mr. Wes Gardner. I want to thank everybody that's come from NoQuarterProductions.net. And come over to the Orange Ive Network. You guys will enjoy your stay. And if you're a fan of Orange Ive Radio, which you should be, let me give you a little breakdown. This show is a little bit different, kind of our late night, you know, kickback, having a nice drink. But the best part of it, uncensored. Uncensored show. We talk about anything gaming, geek-related, movies. There's really no holds barred. I mean, that's what the show's for. But enough about me yammering about what the hell the show is. We'll just start it. But I'm Wes Gardner, and Tyler, you introduce yourself first, even though I already did it.
And I'm Wes Gardner.
You lying sack of shit.
I'm Tyler Olu. I'm not. That's embarrassing. I shouldn't have done the other way, because that's worse. People are like, oh, two Wes Gardners? That's like double.
Oh, no.
Tyler Olu. Yep. That's me.
And who was the homeboy rapping? I want to know. Let people know who you are.
Who had that sick flow?
That's me.
In a rap that he made himself.
My name is Brian Belita, aka B Dizzle.
Aka that's right. The
no,
Belita.
Don't call me that. Please don't call me that.
Oh, this is happening. It's cemented in time.
I forgot, Brian. So don't
damn.
Worry.
Yeah,
if one of these guys repeats it, then I'll start. And then also with us is Jeff Sobel, but I'll let him say his own name.
Yeah.
Jeff Sobel.
Yeah.
All right, so delicious. Yeah. See, and this is just a weird dynamic anyway, because usually, you know, for the weekly Orange Ive Radio, usually it's Jeff in the host chair. So I just want to know how does it feel to be on the, like, just sitting back, not having anything to worry about?
Well, it gives me more time to try and fix Vista. That's about
come
it
on.
Right now.
Dude, Vista gets a lot of flack.
Isn't it perfect right out of the box?
It's
getting flack because it's not doing anything that I want it to do, and even though it says it's supposed to, and for me to get internet on it, I had to install XP drivers, and it doesn't tell you that on Linksys' site or Microsoft's site, and yeah.
Maybe you just bought terrible hardware.
Whoa! We're gonna have a gang war now with this rapping guy.
I don't know, man, but it froze control panel, and now I can never get into control panel again without it freezing instantly. So
maybe I think I have figured out that you know how the whole Games for Windows initiative was, and how they wanted to introduce like all that to Vista and have it be streamlined. I think that the control panel is like an achievement point. Like, you have to do something in order to unlock the control panel. Yeah, and it's like, congratulations!
You'll unlock a skin in Shadowrun, so that's pretty cool.
It's like internet achievements or something.
They need those, dude. They need them.
There's a site that actually does that too. It's based off achievements, and you just go there and it's like, oh, you've gone to Google 500 times. You unlocked an achievement. It actually gives you like a game.
No,
it actually
don't
gives
tell
you like
me
a,
that.
It actually
oh,
gives
terrible.
You like a gamer score or your internet score.
Yeah.
So,
oh God, no.
You should have a picture of a wiener that gets bigger each time.
Yeah, exactly.
You can break the H scroll.
The goatee just scales. It's like a vector of it, so it just never loses clarity.
Send me the link, and I'm like, I can't even tell what it is anymore. And then I zoom out. And
you can print it out on a canvas a mile wide, and it would still be perfect.
just a billboard of goatee.
No just artifacting at all. Perfect.
None. It is technicality at its finest.
The sad thing is there's probably somebody out there that has done a vector version of some kind of goatee illustration.
It's called Fortune, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's everything.
Yeah, but it's like first you go into Spore, you make a wiener, and then you make Goatsy. It's in that order.
It's gonna happen. Yeah, you have to work to the Goatsy.
Vagugu's third.
Matt, we've been talking about the internet for a little while, even before we started here, and coming to one of my favorite sites. Well, not favorite. It's just necessary these days. Kotaku. Have you guys seen this? It just like came up this evening that they're making new Genesis games.
Like, that was pretty whack. It's crazy.
Tetris Mega Drive 3 is a Wild Genesis clone. It is being released in Brazil. So EA is releasing FIFA 2008, Need for Speed Pro Street, The Sims 2, and Sim City on it, like Genesis versions.
That's insane. Is Brazil that big of a market?
Brazil was, what was it, the Master System? Where that was like the only place it was like amazingly successful? Brazil?
I'm not sure. They're a big market for some things, like diabetes.
I'm almost 100% positive.
But
I think they still release versions of the Genesis. They still have Genesis that you can buy. Like, there's some company that has the rights, and they pump them out.
Well, how's that any different than the next generation NES thing that keeps getting released up here?
Yeah, that's always, those things are ugly as hell.
Really? Like, the only thing we get down here are the crappy peddlers that have the broken ass looking Nintendo 64 controller. And like, hey man, come here. You see this? 500,000 games.
Dude, I'll link you right now in our little private chat window that nobody knows about. Right there, dude. Take a look, and this is Generation Next. It has all these little touch controller things.
Here's the craziest thing. I remember, like, when Wes was talking about that, like, you know, like the controller with like 5,000 games built in, and they're all clones, like they're all Tetris clones. There was an ad in EGM a long time ago. I don't know who took it out, but it was a picture of some dude who sold those things and is going to jail for like 10 years and had to pay like $50,000 and it was just like served as a warning, but it was like real. I was like, this dude is going to jail, and I was like, oh man, like I can go to the flea market, and then if I have some sort of crazy vendetta from some retailer, he's done.
Wait, 10 years was a warning?
It was a really long time. Yeah, I mean, like the ad was a warning. It's so crazy.
An example. You know what I find kind of funny about that is they sell those things in the little booths at West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton, like biggest mall in the world or close to it, and they have these things all over, and you can just try it out and everything. I don't see no cops.
But you know what they say about those, like those guys that sell those things, like they're like in jail. They're worse than like the pedophiles and stuff. Like they get killed first. So
yeah, the guys got. There's a hierarchy. Once you walk through those jail doors, man, the way it should go is like the murderers and rapists and stuff. No, the way it goes is like credit card fraud. Done. fucking, you know, like it probably works completely backwards.
Yeah, like the asshole who brings like 11 items into the 10-item express lane, like that guy.
Oh shit! Done. You don't do that around here. You get shot.
He gets gassed as soon as he walks
in. And then on top of that, he takes out like 50 coupons and starts scanning.
Oh god! Man. And pays in nickels. What a dick. I hate this guy. Someone should kill him.
Okay, totally related note. Vista tells me there's new updates available. I don't know what to do.
Good work. Don't do it, man. We'll never hear from you again.
You're like, hey, guys, download it. Boom. Gone.
Okay, best feature. I'm trying to install the audio hardware before this whole thing that we're doing here. No quarter radio. Yeah. And I click to install, and the window disappears. And it stays disappeared for about 8 minutes. And then reappears to tell me that the installation is completed, an installation that usually takes about a minute long.
It's a stealth install, man.
In the meantime, well, that's bullshit. In the meantime, it brings up a window that tells me Windows has a solution for your problem, and it introduces a brand new problem that isn't my actual problem and isn't even a problem. It's like making up stuff.
I swear to God, I must be like the only person in the world who has had a flawless experience with Vista. Well, for the most part, anyways.
My dad has it, and it was like his first computer, so he enjoys it. He's like, oh, these things are see-through. Awesome.
Oh, you can make them 3D.
Hey, don't make fun of my dad, man. You're done. So in an attempt to legitimize this podcast, oh, hey, Brian, can you pass me some of that Cavarsier you're sipping on? It looks good. We're all in the same room. Delicious. Hey, yep, don't stop
right sitting here.
Stop touching my leg, dude. Who's touching my leg? Away.
Oh.
Oh. I didn't say. I know I said stop, but now I'm going to say I didn't say stop.
Stop. This
just got special, man. It's just got discussion.
You just turned the corner.
I don't know. Is this too on topic? What is anyone playing any cool games?
Yes. I've actually been playing a shit ton of stuff.
Don't break any NDAs, guys. You don't want to break any. I can't talk about what I've been playing. I'm playing like 5 games that'll come out next year, so
I wish I could break some NDAs, but
no. I've been playing Endwar, of course. It's still going. I thought they'd close that beta by now, but it's still up.
I didn't even know there was one. Continue.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I can't really say too much because the NDA's still there, I think. Yeah.
Oh, you're being serious. Oh, my God. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Well, we have a real gaming celebrity with us right now.
All right. Well, no, don't say that, because I signed up for the Warhammer Online beta about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Did I get it? No.
No.
Some guy that I work with, he was like, Warhammer Online? Oh, there's a beta invite the next fucking day. Hey, I'm playing Warhammer.
And there's not only that. There's no war or hammers.
Yeah, it's like Dance Hammer. but good job, Mythic, because, you still give me your newsletter. But so every time I get something and it's like Warhammer Online, I'm like, oh man, this is it. Oh shit. And I open it up and it's like, Dark Elves have a new pair of pants. I'm like, no, damn it.
Sucks.
But
subject, Warhammer beta invitation, and then the email continues with an S, and then it says are going out. So
yeah, are going out and you are not included. Sorry, but be sure to reserve your copy of the game. Hitting stores on September 18th.
So yeah, Endwar. That's pretty crazy. Telling your troops what to do.
It works really well. I can say that much.
Kiss, really well. Please.
But I just bought Disgaea 3. For my
Go on.
It's a blasty. I'm a fan of the series anyway, but I'm going to be writing an Orange Eye review for it.
I'll act in the know and be like, oh man, dude, printies.
You know they blow up if you throw them.
Do want. There you go.
I think I tried playing the PSP Disgaea once, and I don't know, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, what was it, just like graphics, or what was it?
No, I think it's just too big, too much to do, for me at least.
Yeah, that stuff overwhelms me, but it interests me in that, like, there's basic gameplay things that you know, like, you know, you can throw a dude, and you're like, what if I throw a dude on a dude, and then you got a dude on a dude? So it's pretty crazy.
I watched one of my friends in college play it, and it seemed pretty interesting, so it's fun to watch.
We got a college boy with us. Woohoo! I got big brains.
I graduated, man.
You're American, like Wesley, so when you say college, do you mean college or do you mean university?
I mean college. I went to college in South Africa as well, though, but that was just high school.
Yeah.
And then I came back here, and I went to high school again, and then I went to college.
Oh.
Wait, why'd you have to go to... Did it not transfer you over?
No.
Like, does it not work that way?
That's what they call high school, like, in the European system, or, you know, Canada too, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound fair. Land. I got my college diploma from Brazil. I got it in Master System-y.
Dude, I bet Brazil, like, they're still on, like, 3-old generation technology, but their master systems have so many add-ons, they're stacked, like, 8 feet tall. And they have
it's a microchip. And it's like you can play any of these old RPGs you want to, and by any of the old ones, I mean the two that came out for the system.
And it plays Blu-ray games.
Yeah, somehow.
That's pretty cool.
But it pixelates them. It actually makes them look 2D, like an anime, and you're like, oh, this is phenomenal.
The installation time is the game. Anyone else playing games? I don't know. I don't know if I just jump into me or not.
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of my gaming with you lately, Tyler.
I know. It's pretty creepy.
Playing a lot of Warhawk and Paradise, Pixel Junk Eden.
Yep. Because
we
unlocked the online mode in Pixel Junk Eden when you're really good, so we play it together.
Yeah.
No, that's so stupid, man. I want to play with you. It's so ridiculous that I can't. Stupid offline. I don't understand how game development works. But yeah, we've been playing a lot of games. I think Brian and I both got into Warhawk again because last week there was a patch update. And my problem with Warhawk, which I think I said a while ago on an Orange Eye podcast, was that there was no like training mode, and so you'd have to learn like on the fly. So it's like press square to climb a ladder, and then you know I press square and I'm already like blown up to death. So I never really got to learn very well. So this had a training mode, and so I totally got into it, and now I'm like enamored with it. And I bought the expansion, and it's just killer. Like it's an awesome game.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'm blown away that I guess it's, I don't know if it's the kind of because like, you know, like DICE has been doing Battlefield for so long, but you always hear about how each Battlefield is like constantly each vehicle is neutered, then it's bulked up and it's too strong and stuff. But Warhawk's been going for a long time, and it's just, I'm surprised by how balanced it is.
Yeah,
like, I don't like flying Warhawks, but I don't, and you'd think that they'd be overpowered, but they're quite easy to fight against, even on foot, like as a troop. So it's pretty good. I love that game, man. It's killer.
Yeah, it's rad-normous.
It's
rad-normous. That's the word of the night.
Redneck
voting right now.
So yeah, I've been playing that, and then I don't know. Like Brian, you American in America, you guys had Soul Bubbles come up for the DS, and exclusive to Toys R Us, which only the best games are. And so and Soul Bubbles is awesome. I haven't played it enough to say that the creator, like him saying how the DS is being like destroyed by developers who don't give a shit about the technology. But I do think it's a good thing going. So I'm impressed so far. But I really like it.
It's really really good. I'm like on the fourth world or something like that.
Yeah,
and they're all pretty varied. So
it's so weird. I don't understand why it's exclusive to Toys R Us, but whatever.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's really weird. Yeah, I don't know how games
Monday.
Moolah.
So if they get to make,
I'm glad someone called out the other developers though, because
it's true.
I have an idea for a write up. I'm just gonna say it right here. That way, someone can either steal the idea and make a better version or whatever. But I think the Nintendo systems are great for Nintendo products, and yeah, that's been said before. But yeah, there's little to no innovation. There's no innovation with it. And I'm glad someone's saying, hey, people are misusing this. People aren't, you know, a touchscreen isn't to go, like, flip a page in a book. You know, if I wanted to do that, I'd fucking go flip a page in a book. But
with a stylus?
Yes.
Okay, then.
You can't judge me.
Don't judge me.
That's how God made me. But, yeah, I'm glad someone's actually speaking up.
Nice.
And, you know, the same thing as Jonathan Blow. Like him coming out and saying a lot of people don't know how to do stories in games. You know, thoughts on Braid aside from whichever direction, he does make good points. I just wish he would not be on every... I'm surprised like he's not on our show right now, because he's been on everything.
Yeah.
Has he really? I guess I haven't been following it too much, but yeah, I hear a lot of people...
He's a whore. What do you expect?
Oh, yeah. When you drop $200,000 on a game, you need to make that back somehow, man.
Yeah, really? It's crazy. Or,
Jesus.
But man, especially in the 3 years before that, wow.
Yeah, so he's an interesting guy. He's a very interesting guy, because I didn't know, like, I always remember his little comments popping up, and I'm like, wait, like, I was like, I think this is like his first game, am I correct? I think that's right.
Yeah,
and the game wasn't out, and he was saying like he was dropping bombs on everybody. So, but luckily, like, it worked out. Like, the game was really well received, so it worked out. But I mean, if it was like, you could have pulled a Dayak, and then no one would like him anymore, which would be too bad. But it's pretty crazy.
Everyone fight people.
Am I the only person who thinks it's kind of funny though that he talks all the time about game design and everything, and he did a pretty good game overall, Braid, very nicely done. But then the big thing that he touts is, oh, nobody knows how to do narration in games. Then you get my roommate and I, and we talk about how the narration is the worst part of Braid.
Oh.
It's just go up to the book. Let's read the screen.
Well, he'd argue on that, because his whole thing is that a lot of people take that as the narrative of the game. He was just on the most recent, like, 1UP FM, and he was saying, like, that what people aren't seeing is, like, him and his artist are making points with, like, the art of the game and, like, the backgrounds and the paintings, and those things aren't being looked at
the dude's being just an artistic fagger at that point. Like,
uh-oh.
Like seriously, look. Oh, yeah, one of many. But, seriously, you look at a game, you look at any game out there, like, take Gears of War, for example, something I'm sure we've all played. You go into it, you get the cutscenes. Is that the only narrative of the game? No, the game itself, like, all the gameplay, your environment, even just how it controls, that's all part of your narrative and how you feel in that game. Like, you look at a Resident Evil, like Resident Evil 2, people look back and say, this controls like shit. Well, part of that, it controlling like shit and making you feel so clunky, that's part of what made that game so freaky.
Yeah,
and that's what part of what conveyed the entire situation was, I can't move. Silent Hill made that even more so, where you could trip, fall, have like your heart get shocked, all those different things. And that added to it. In Braid, okay, fine, you have the story, you have some narrative going on, and oh, look at how happy he is because of the garden behind him, and now look how gloomy everything is becoming. Well, that's just fine and dandy, but when the actual story itself and the narrative itself is being told to the gamer by text on screen that you have to stop playing to read, that is not well designed.
Right, and what I'm going to bring up real quick is I definitely agree with you in that regard. However, whenever people are bringing up the narrative in Braid, I think the most important thing about Braid is the theme. And the theme does use everything. It does use the influence of time. Like, you know, oh, hey, these green keys may represent a mistake that you made in the past. But if you would go back in time and make that same mistake, would you still become the person you are today? Whatever. It makes, you know, it has that going for it, and it all works together, but it's not necessarily for the story that's actually being told to you about the guy and his girlfriend and the project that he's working on. And I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but, you know, there's a story being told to you, but there's, in my opinion, my only complaint about Braid is that there's two stories going on. One is very direct, and the other is not direct whatsoever. So you kind of have to read into it, and I love that type of stuff. I'm huge fans of games, a huge fan of games like that, you know, Deus Ex or whatever, that the more you read into it, the more you can find. But with Braid, I think the way Jonathan Blow is going about answering criticisms of the game, I think is the wrong way, because he's not, well, first of all, whenever you try to go look up a walkthrough. Like, did you guys see the walkthrough that he posted up?
Yep.
Where he did, like, the first level, and then he's like, oh, fuck you guys, you better figure it out on your own.
Jesus.
It's like, really? Really? You gonna tell me that? Really?
He's a pretentious twat. He has good things that he has said, and I will not take that away from him. Like, look at me. I say all sorts of things about design, and I don't have a braid out. Like, just keep that in mind for a second. So, yes, I am going to respect him for what he did. But the dude is calling out other people on things that he did badly himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is no different than having... God, I'm trying to think... Like, I'm trying to think of an example right now that would actually fit this. Who sucks? Who sucks right now in the industry? Who really sucks?
Well, I wouldn't say this person sucks, but this person's just as guilty of it as anyone like Jonathan Blow or anything, and it'd be God, David Jaffe.
David Jaffe
with God of War. Whenever he was making God of War, he said, you know, oh, stuff like Metal Gear Solid just doesn't understand how to use the medium in order to tell a proper story. But then what's the majority of God of War? Oh, yeah. Well, cutscenes. Great. Good one, Jaffe. But then, you know, David Jaffe did do a few things, like in the first God of War, spoiler alert, but it's been how many years? The part where you realize in the story that you killed your family, and near the last of the game, you actually fight clones of yourself trying to kill your family. That's pretty cool. I mean, that did its job. It cemented the fact that, hey, I'm trying to, you know, repent for my sins. I'm trying to wash the slate clean and start fresh.
Yeah, that was cool.
But then the rest of it was just cutscenes. I think very angsty cutscenes.
I've got a perfect example then, finally. It took me a second to remember his name. I don't know why, because the guy just spouts off like crazy. But what's his name again? Braid. Jonathan Blow telling developers that they don't know how to do narration is like Molyneux telling developers that they're overpromising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Aw. That's pretty good.
Fable 2 looks pretty sick, though, man, because I'm going in with realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'd be hilarious if I came back and I had 10 kids and 3 of them hated me and tried to kill me, and I think it'd be great. Like, I cannot wait to go and sabotage other people's games. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, great, yeah, invite me to your game, man.
Yeah.
And just hop in and be like, oh, nice place you got here. I killed your wife. And then run out of the game.
Yeah, I wrote a little something about Fable, but like the first one just recently, because I just got into it, and so I don't really have the expectations that people had, because I'm not like, I can't kill children, that was promised. But so I'm having fun with it. So, but I do like the art style is killing me. So, but it looks like they pull it off better in Fable 2. Like, I guess they have the technology to make the drawings look just as good in game as they are out on paper. So I'm looking forward to it.
While you guys talk about this stuff, I'm going to look at all the Kotaku stuff I missed while I was at PAX, and then I can tell you guys how Fable 2. Then I can tell you how Fable 2 actually played. Ho 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 ho. But
oh yeah.
Let's see all the crap here that I've missed over the last week. Oh.
Okay.
The Tecmo takeover bid was rejected, and Square doesn't seem to understand why. Oh man. Money ain't everything, I guess. Except when you're trying... Well, it is everything in this case. What the fuck?
Let's see. And while you're browsing 7-Eleven's
taking pre-orders on games? Good lord.
Well, yeah. Well, they do rentals and stuff here, and it's pretty big.
I think they did it with Halo 3, so...
Yep, and then you buy a Slurpee.
Africa was second on the Media Create numbers this week for new titles in Japan. Two Human came out to debut this week at number 17.
I mean, great game. Great game. Let's give a round of applause to that.
Speaking of great games, Grand Theft Auto tops 10 million copies. White Knight Stories is still in development. First album recorded using the DS Core emulator. What the fuck? These are stories? Who does that?
The blog. It's a blog.
Yeah.
It's a blog.
It is a blog.
So,
Games Ninja Journalism.
Blade. What is Ninja Blade? Because I don't know.
Looks whack.
Ninja Blade, the news looks pretty funny, man.
It's from Software. Didn't From Software release Tenchu?
Yes, they did.
Tenchu's. So this is like a next-gen Ninja Gaiden Chu's or something?
Ninja Gaiden Chu.
Alright, well, this is pretty terrible so far. I'm not missing anything.
Well, while you're looking at that, on the other side, in other games journalism news, I have to say congratulations to someone I play games with quite a bit. His name is Jeff Green from the 1UP Network, Ziff Davis. He actually got hired
on Xbox Live Arcade. I'm interrupting you to say that.
Nice. Yeah, he got promoted and he got a job over at EA working on The Sims. Or on The Sims team, at least. So, yeah. I don't know.
Let me see if
Jeff Green. He was called the father of the Brodeo over there. I'm a huge fan of the Ziff Davis guys, and I talk with them a lot, quite a bit. I've been a fan of theirs for a while.
It's the old guy.
Yeah, he's the father figure, and he's been with the company for 17 years. 17 years, man. Yeah. He's seen literally everything. Yeah. But I'm glad he's going in. It's going to be awesome for his family. And plus, whenever he goes back on GFW Radio, or the Brodeo, as it's called, he'll be able to talk all about it. And I was starting to get suspect, because the last few weeks of GFW Radio, some of the guys that made The Sims 3 have been on there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Rod
Humble?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's so weird to think that, like, they were, like, winking at each other, and we didn't know. And they're like, and he was like, oh, it's so cool making The Sims. And Jeff Green's like, I don't know. I wonder what that would be like. And now
that would be weird. Well, it's kind of like Greg Kasavin going and working with EA on Command & Conquer, which is cool.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, that's cool.
Speaking of neat stuff like that, I don't know if this is kind of old news, but let me see. I think his name's Adam Foster, the guy that created the pretty awesome single-player mods for Half-Life 2 called Minerva. He was actually hired by Valve, which is really awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I never got Minerva, but I love the way it looked. Like, I would seriously go, and for a while, a piece of the concept art was up as my desktop. Just because I love the vibe of it, like the really dark gray and the bright neon blue. I was stoked about it.
Because I don't know about that. We should have a link in our when we post this and let everyone see
this.
Show notes. Oh, look at these professional terms. I talked to Jeff Green. I know what show notes are.
And Tecmo's fucked. Tecmo's weird. They're going to merge with Koei now or something. And then they release downloadable content to give schoolgirl uniforms to all the people in Soul Calibur after giving maid outfits to in Soul Calibur.
All right.
That's what I wanted, you know. Instead of, I don't know, voice chat during the game. I don't know, there's voice chat. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything that I want in the game.
He just kind of made something up
instead of a 2D side-scroller in the game.
Having it be French on there. On the. It's like, wait a minute.
Now playable on Japanese Street Fighter 4 cabinets.
Akuma.
That's pretty cool. And a game I've been playing, Oh Ho Ho Ho.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Admittedly, in Hot Shots Golf, as opposed to a Kratos playable character, I would have
preferred voice chat. Here we go. Drop the bomb. Drop it, Brian.
Voice chat. HSG voice chat. Believe.
EA is looking to take over Japanese developers. Oh.
EA's looking to take over everything. So.
Yeah, I still stand by my statement. They are going to try to keep taking over companies for the next while. You're going to see the new next-gen consoles get released, and then EA is going to announce, by the way, even like they've gone Take-Two and whoever else. by the way, we're releasing our own console or our own platform. And then it's like, oh, shit. Shit. Like, what happens then? Like,
yeah. I don't know.
Have you seen the stat, though? Like, have you seen the stat that came out recently that's like 77% or 80% of games coming out this fall are made by Activision and EA?
I don't know about the EA console, though. I mean, yeah, it definitely is an idea, but I don't think it's one that we're going to see come to fruition for a while,
yeah,
if at all.
I can see that. Well, I don't understand why they do. I really would need to see this broken down in maybe an Excel sheet. I'm not sure. I need to see how they could make more money on a console of their own as opposed to selling it on like five or six different consoles. Like,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
What I don't understand.
I can tell you right now how they could do that. Just a very quick and easy way to do it. First, undercut. Like immediately, first thing you do with that is undercutting your competition. Do they need Blu-ray? No, they really don't need Blu-ray. So, put in a normal DVD drive, a dual-layer DVD drive. Well, they're going to save money on that. There are parts that they don't need. Second, they have an online service in place already. Is it live? No, it definitely isn't live, but it is there, and it's in place. They have the servers and everything, so why not make everything digital download? That gets them past all the brick-and-mortar stores, allows them to charge less, again, undercutting, and earn more profit. That's better management on their part. This is a way that they can make a lot of money, keep everything under their own roof, and basically get a huge share of the business, especially when they do own Madden. They do own the up-and-comers, Skate, when they do own like all these big games that are coming out. The potential is there, definitely. Whether they see that potential or not, or whether that's an idea they're working towards, I don't know, and I'm really not sure, but I could see them doing it. And also when you don't have to develop across multiple platforms, you don't have to make a DS version, PSP version, all these other versions of games, and in particular PS3, Wii, 360, you can focus on one version. Have it work. That's better management for development. That's less money put into development. And for what are the most profitable consoles or platforms right now? That some people would argue the Wii, but the most profitable one is the DS and PSP. Mm-hmm. Those are the most profitable for software because it's cheap and easy to develop for. Well, they subvert all the costs of home consoles, but they can continue to develop for the portables.
Start making hardware, they're going to be losing money out the ass. That's why they haven't done it yet. I think if they would have done it, they would have done it by now. Because especially with the whole three-system fiasco that's going on right now. But let me tell you, from a retail standpoint, if there is another goddamn system added to it, so whenever people come in, it's like, oh, I want a video game console for Susie. Which one should I buy? I don't want to smash my face back into the keyboard. Because, you know, I'll explain one thing and be like, yeah, okay, here. Yeah, this has this. But what if I just want this and this? Well, that doesn't exist. Well, why not? You have to settle. Like, you have to settle on this, has more games, has more third party, you have to have this, have better technology, and you have to have this, which you can fucking waggle the controller around.
You know what I miss? You know what I miss big time? I miss cartridges. Not because of the non-loading thing or any of that, but they were unique to those systems. It wasn't just another disc. It wasn't the same case. It wasn't another DVD case with a different label. It was, this is the specific type of brick I need for this.
It didn't make my DVD case look hideous. Like, it would be like, oh, DVD sleeves, DVD in a big fucking Nintendo 64 box, all right.
GameCube discs were small and cute, and I was like, this is my GameCube game right here.
But like, what about, like, look back to the TurboGrafx, or was it the TurboGrafx, or was it like the PC Engine, whatever. And they had those cards, and like the old Sega Master System, the cards that you could use, those were pretty cool. In terms of like how big some of these cartridges are, like honestly, looking at the way flash memory works now, like it wouldn't have to be that big even. DS is effectively a cart. Not in the strict sense, like not strict technological sense, but it is similar. Like, I'd love to see that come back and say, yes, this is unique to whatever console it is. And it just gives it that flair. It gives it that kind of almost wonder again, because it only works on this one thing, and I do kind of miss that.
The only thing that I miss about cartridges is just being like, I was just like the new generation would come out, and you'd be like, that GBA cartridge is so tiny. Oh my god, there's no way it can get tinier. And you're like, they release like Zelda on it, like you know, like a port, and you'd be like, it used to be this big, and now it's this big.
That's exactly what I always do.
So that mystery,
like Final Fantasy VI, no fucking way. And like, you go and you buy it, and it comes a little strategy guide, and you're like, oh shit. So you put it in your system, and it loads up, and then you're like, this is awesome, until you go to like a menu, and then it loads for 2 seconds. And then you just get furious, like, this wasn't in the Super Nintendo one. Just slow down, blah, 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 blah. Like, it goes from, like, fantastic to utter disaster in, like, 10 seconds.
Do you guys remember the cases that used to come with Game Boys?
Like
the little cases for each game?
I still have a couple. Like, one has, like, a coffee stain in it. I don't know why.
In it? Like, on the inside?
On the inside, yeah,
like,
it's weird.
There's, like, 15 of them sitting on my shelf right now with games in them. And, oh, man. I miss games having those cool cases. Like, in Japan, they have those cool cases. They're tiny, and they're all efficient and everything. Here? No.
I remember I used to think the things that snug onto your SNES cartridges was really cool. I thought those things were neat. And then those stopped. And it had that weird symbol on it, which was like which was more popular in Japan. It was like the Famicom with the four circles, and it really wasn't used too much with the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
But those things were cool. Then they stopped making them, so.
The only Game Boy-related box that I have is WarioWare Twisted.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
Nice.
Well, it's so big.
Man, it is.
The E3 board and talks about making the show public? All right.
Oh, I guess that's, stunned amazement on my end.
Yeah, I guess that's good. I love this comment at the end. The question is the move, if it happens, too little, too late? Can anything save E3 at this point, or was this year's event and across the board negative reactions to it the final nail in the show's coffin? E3 is a huge brand. Revitalization happens all the time.
Right,
it's better than starting something new, like E for All, which is like an offshoot. And PAX did take its time getting big. E3 at least has that brand that, you know what? If we do release ourselves in, what, May, July, and we have all the same games that are being shown at PAX, which they were basically all the same games, well, that again, what I mentioned it earlier, undercutting. People who want to play the games, they get their ability to play the games. The people who want to be the gaming nerds, they get to be the gaming nerds. But to say, oh, can they come back? Like, the Acclaim brand is being used, and it's more notably recognized than Big Fish. So,
right. And see, yeah. I actually hope that E3 does not turn public. I really hope that we just have one dedicated event per year that gamers get to kind of be on the inside looking or on the outside looking in. But have it be for the stockholders. Have it be for just the business analysis crew. Come in, vendors get their information, they go, they distribute new marketing, whatever, based on the show, and we get PAX. Because for all intents and purposes, PAX was show of the year this year from everyone that I've spoken with and from all the stuff that was shown there and like Ken Levine's opening speech. Like, that got me riled up, man. Whenever I read that transcript of it, he was like, you know, I found my tribe. And I was like, yeah, you did. Well played, Kim Levine. But,
it was like a Beatles concert.
It was.
Everyone was screaming and crying.
And then just weeping.
You can save my little sister. I brought her.
Touch her. Just touch her forehead, please.
Oh, my God. But yeah, PAX is pretty cool. But then, like, I don't know, like, I've lived so far without E3 being open to the public, you know, if it was, like, in the neighboring town or something. I've lived without it being open to the public, and I can live without it for some more, because all you hear, I don't want to have, it's just fun to have a game come out, and you're like, you know what, there was no demo, I couldn't get to try it. But it's like an amazing game, and it's just like so good to have that. Like, I get, like, when I play a demo and then I encounter that area in the game, I'm kind of like, oh man, this is, I wish I didn't play that demo so I could just be experiencing this for the first time, like, as a whole. Because usually, like, you know, like, they make enemies weaker, or they give you too many weapons, or they do something in the demo just to make it a bit easier. Mm-hmm. So I wish that was, you know, that's the only thing. It just, if you have an E3, then game, like, well, I don't know, we're too, like, even game journalists are sometimes too critical of these demos and these early builds and stuff like that. I can't, like I've said before, I can't imagine how the fuck we treat them. Be like, oh my god, this game comes out in 2 years, but it controlled like shit.
Right.
I'm not buying it.
Or you're running the Diablo 3 thing. There was nothing wrong with the game, but I didn't like how purple the headband was. So yeah. I'm going to make a fucking Photoshop copy and make it black, because black is so much cooler.
Yeah, and that was embarrassing, yeah. And the thing with PAX is at least the games that they're being that are being demoed there, it's like the developers are very sure of them. The games are a few months away, like they're pretty much done builds, and so that's pretty smart. But E3 can be a very early experience for a lot of games, and so I think PAX has found a nice way to approach things. So
they really have, and it was good that you said that, because the first thing I thought of whenever you said that, you know, E3, you get to see games, you know, kind of in their building stages. Well, this E3, you know, with Miyamoto saying, yeah, we're making a Pikmin, like, he went, not only did he go like alpha or beta, he went further back. Like, he went like, yeah, that sounds good, like someone just gave him the idea to do it.
Yeah. I drew a Pikmin and the number 3 beside it, so
they correlate somehow. It was great.
Well, no, the public doesn't really ever understand that a game is in beta, which is a really important thing. About, and I think, who was it, Wes? You were the one who said you want there to be the stockholder type deal going on. You want there to be that show. I do, I do too, for two reasons. One is, you see these demos come out, like Too Human back in 06, that where it was absolutely terrible. You see these games that come out, like the Stargate MMO that was shown off a long time ago, and it wasn't really that good. Well, a lot of these games get their second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is their test the waters. Let's see how it went. Did we screw up? And in a lot of ways, for developers who are unhappy with the game, this is the only way that you're going to get the publisher half the time to realize this is a shitty game, is when you go to E3 and everyone's like, this was crap. I hope they don't release it. If they do, let's just shit on it. Shit right in its mouth. And
damn.
And
that's my kind of party. I'll just have you all know.
Damn straight, but
I was born in Germany.
But you go and look at something like
Scheißdreck.
But you go and look at something like E4All or PAX, and you go and play a game there. Most people there, like the people who aren't at least held to some kind of standard, or at least you hope, or aren't in the business and have an understanding of how things go, they see it, they play it. Oh, the game froze up. Well, it's shit. And that's pretty much it. And they don't pay attention to this is a beta version half the time, unless you really blare it in their face that, look, fuckface, this is beta. And most demos don't do that. They say it at the very beginning, they say it on the title screen, and it's just kind of ridiculous. And the other part is, you go to PAX and there's a couple of the developers there, but for the bigger companies, it's mostly these jockeys. It's mostly booth jockeys again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get the more private E3 and it's actually business, well, you get the people who matter. You get the people who are behind the game, the heads of the game, etc. And that's a little bit more important to me personally, and should be a little more important if you're a person talking to them, for that game's development, that person be there. So, and if PAX keeps getting bigger and bigger, which it is, it's just now, I think they announced 58,500 people is what the estimate that they have. Well, the last E3 06 was 60,000, and the E3 05 was 70,000. So they're right there. And because there are so many people, that's why they hired jockeys. Because the booths were so big, that's why they hired the jockeys. That's what's going to happen now. It's just going to be go and play your game, leave. There is no depth. There is no, let's make this game better. It's just, this is coming out in a month. Have fun. It's your sneak peek. It's your pay-to-play a demo. That's all it is right now. And yeah, E3 is different than that. And I'm happy that it's different than that. The fact that they're doing it badly sucks, but
Well, it's not badly. It's just mixed. I think it's just mixed emotions and feelings on like I said, on the outside looking in, because we were used to E3 a certain way. They switched it up, not necessarily for the worse, but it just was not the same show. I mean, they pulled a Nintendo. They completely did their own thing, and they did it to mixed results, but I think it was still effective. Hell, it was effective enough to have a show this year. I mean, if it was really the biggest flop on the known universe as a convention show that half the internet would have you believe, they wouldn't have done it this year at all. They would have just scrapped it. So they're doing something right, and I'm actually glad that they're sticking to their guns, and I'm glad that they're going with it.
As they should. And just on the note of pay-to-play demos, as mentioned before, Final Fantasy 13 demo may be pay-to-play. Really, is that something so out of the realm of possibility that it needs a news story? Epic mega games hitting upper limit of Xbox capabilities. There's a lot of things here that aren't exactly unknown.
There's a more of a... I mean, honestly, I would love
gaming can help you lose the weight. A tiny little bit of weight. Wow. Again, this is a story?
Well, not necessarily a story. It's more, I would love to work at Kotaku, honestly, in all seriousness, simply because if stuff that interests you and you post about it, it doesn't necessarily have to be hard-hitting news. It just has to get the community in a tizzy. Kind of, it has to spark something, conversation, and it fuels it. I mean, I can't diss too much on Kotaku. It's not necessarily they're trying to be journalists and they have this big magazine where they interview all these different, you know, it's not quite like that. They're just kind of the, you know, who are the guys? The guys that would go into the towns and warn people that the prohibition law passers would be coming and checking the alcohol.
Well, Kotaku really isn't the one to blame here, even though I'm kind of shitting on them right now, but it is the people. Again, all these people who come in and you see 2,000 views for Wizard 101 launches, class now in session, 4,000 views for Capcom explain the R4 lawsuit participation, 3,500 views for Blizzard, World of Warcraft success and a ton of work, 2,700 for Perfect World International launches. Like that's how much they're getting for all these stories. Then you see new Lara Croft unveiled, and it's like one picture, and it's 35,000 views. It's the market
that
dictates it.
Boobs.
If you end up working at Kotaku West, just make sure you like marry a Japanese wife so you can post how funny it is that her culture is different and it doesn't make sense in America.
Oh, those crazy Easterners! I don't understand.
This is so wacky.
A game about eating noodles sold really well. What's happening? What's going on?
I'm going bonkers.
Okay, so I came across the first. I came across a couple 10,000 view ones, but I was looking for the ones that broke 15 or 20. And the only one I've seen so far that breaks 20,000 on this page, in the last page, is the "Can you pick out the new PSP 3000?" And just puts the two, that and the PSP Lite, side by side, and you're supposed to pick out which one's different. I look at the first picture and I see immediately just like big glaring thing right in front of me that shows which one's which. But like, how is that getting 21,000 views? Seriously.
People want to look at it, man. That's a hot piece of machinery. Hot.
I felt like it passed a Mensa test when I saw it. Because the home button is a PS button. Done.
It's like it's one advantage is that it has beveled edges or something.
Brilliant.
Oh, Capcom confirms Resident Evil 5 controls change. Ooh. That's good to know, I guess.
Maybe I should do... I'm going to do a really cool segue.
Okay. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Owl boy. Who's an owl and a boy? It's Owl Boy. Project from D-Pad Studio. Brian, take it away. Talk about Owl Boy.
Word, yeah. I just found out about this. There's some game that I found out about on the independent gaming source, because I follow up on all this kind of stuff. A game coming out called Owl Boy that's going to be entered into the upcoming IGF. As a PC and apparently as an Xbox 360 game. And it looks pretty fantastic. It's got delicious sprite work and pixel arty backgrounds. Ooh, yep. And it's been described by the game's artist as a free-roaming flying game with dungeons. And it actually, what's really neat about it is if you look at the pictures, it looks like it takes a lot of kind of style and art direction, kind of from Wind Waker. I don't know if any of you guys have looked at it, but it looks like it has that little bit art style, yeah.
Yeah, the weird, like, owl boy, which I just realized I repeated the game's title. But yeah, the boy who looks like an owl looks like the owl race from Wind Waker. So, yeah, the game, yeah, to me... Oh, sorry, man. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, first off, I was just going to say, like, I liked your song, because what it reminded me of was, you know, those, like, 50s comic book TV shows that they had? Where it's like, "Owl boy, next time, and, like, it would show, the boy looks like an owl.
And they talk. They would say things that they can't even do. And be like, "He eats worms and punches through rocks," and they don't do either.
Spider-Man saves the babies, and this bus is on fire. And then, like, he'll be swinging through the air, even though he's an owl and he can't swing on anything. Like, it was awesome. But what kind of game is it? Like, that's kind of a vague. You know, it's a flying game with dungeons. But is it a platformer? Is it side scrolling? I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a platformer. I'm trying to look at what who just linked that. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely a platformer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It looks like it's got some kind of like NPC interaction. In one of the screenshots, it shows you can kind of pick like a different reaction. There's like a happy face, a sad face, and an angry face.
Like Mass Effect.
So it's it's like a 2D side-scrolling Mass Effect.
Oh, I'm sold, dude. I'm serious.
Universe.
We'll put this in the show notes for sure, so people will be able to check it out, because this sounds great. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm going to right after the show.
And it's got graphics better than the ocean.
Oh,
it looks good. I think it, or like I said it in the when we were talking to each other, but I don't know if anyone knows here if anyone's played it, but I think the sprite work, it looks a lot like Drill Dozer. I think it's just like the really light colors. It looks a lot like Drill Dozer to me, which is my favorite GBA game. So. I care.
It's like, But nice. Now I think we've come to the end of the first episode, gentlemen.
Yay! Yep. Oh no. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm happy and I'm sad.
Didn't even say a single thing about PAX. Wow.
Like Jeff Green. I'm sad about he's leaving, and but he's getting a cool job.
Well, Jeff, when we're doing a Orange Drive Radio this week, right?
Yeah, we are doing Orange Drive Radio this week.
PAX themed. Because I can't really bring up anything about PAX because I wasn't there. Tyler and I and Squiz, were you there? Or Brian, rather?
For who? Huh?
I say Squiz.
That's right. You can call me B Dizzle.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Oh God, I'm gonna write it down. Is it two?
Two Z's.
Two Z's. Okay.
There's a dash between the B and the D.
Oh, is it capital B?
Capital B, capital B.
And like one of those like Spanish upside down exclamation points at the beginning.
Tyler's my manager, so sure.
B-Dizzle-o. It's the arts nemesis to Owlboy.
Yeah. By repeating his name, you owe me and you owe him like $10. Oh, I get like 10%.
Yeah, little known fact, I am the arch villain in Owlboy.
Perfect.
Why we talked about it.
But
now I know.
Good deal. But I'm excited. Orange Drive Radio coming up. We're going to make it all about PAX, man. Because, one, you'll host it, you get to tell us, and I know Graham better be on it, because I want to hear the stuff he did. Because he saw some Dragon Age, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
But
oh man, okay. I'm gonna read one thing just as a preview of where PAX is going.
Do it.
Just so you guys know, because I'm just reading this right now and it's kind of funny. It says, "You know, I wouldn't mind the booth babes if they actually knew something about the game. I went up to that stupid cell phone game just to talk to the hot one in the yellow dress and the wonderfully tan skin, and I forget. Oh yeah, and she didn't know how to play the fucking thing. Like, couldn't show me how to play it because they only showed her the first level. Tee hee." So we stood there awkwardly while I tried to figure out how to play for her. She told me she was making $30 an hour.
Wait, who wrote this?
It's just a forum. I'm browsing right now. I'm just catching up on a few things
who
at the moment.
Who makes $30 an hour?
The booth babes who work the Reset Generation booth.
Booth woman.
Yes. We don't refer to them as the booth babes anymore. It's kind of like calling a...
It's because they were ugly. That's why.
It's like they're not a flight. They're flight attendants. They're not hostesses.
They're getting paid. We can refer to them as whatever.
That's true. And it's true.
Hey, they refer to themselves as it, so whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if it's self-called, it's fine. Anyone can use it.
Uh-oh.
Just like the N-word. But but we're going to wrap this show up. Thank you all for coming out, and thank you, gentlemen, for being on it. We're going to have another one very, very soon. And it's kind of a, you know, kind of a nice, relaxing little time. Next time, we're going to come out full guns a-blazing, swinging for the fences. But I really like tonight's show. I mean, anyone got anything, final closing thoughts before we make your judgment in favor of the plaintiff?
Sure, I got one thing. Hopefully, Owlboy won't end up like Fez, if you guys remember that, which is that crazy awesome, like, what Super Paper Mario should have been.
Right. What happened with Fez?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, he made, like, the one level demo, and now he's, like, working on another project.
I remember when everyone had that as their avatar, like, they changed their avatars. I think I even briefly
I made all those avatars, all those crazy...
Aw, didn't make me one. I had to make my own. Ooh. So, thanks, dude. That was nice of you.
Damn. All right, gang.
So someone's in a windy... Someone lives in Chicago. Someone's reporting... Someone's talking from recording from the streets of Chicago.
Wes is just cleaning all his cartridges. He's just...
I got my Q-tips with the rubbing alcohol, and I just gently... Gently.
Let's let Wes go spend some personal time with his cartridges.
And you two go play more multiplayer.
There's actually someone who... There's actually someone at a flea market that was back in Edmonton who was cleaning one of the NES cartridges with a Q-tip with rubbing alcohol. And as I was buying it, the games, I said, this one's a little dirty. I think I'll clean it when I get home. And he said, oh, yeah, whatever you do, don't use a Q-tip with rubbing alcohol.
What? That's his move. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, get your own. But, I thought that would rust whatever's inside, but maybe I don't understand rubbing alcohol. Anyways, we're wrapping up. What am I doing? We're wrapping this up like a mummy.
Yep, we're doing it. Oh, nice. We're bringing it back. It started with a nice flow, and it ended with a wrap like a mummy.
We're going to record back-to-back episodes, so yeah, that's what we're doing.
So
wrapping up this one, and then we're going to start the next one talking about mummies.
And it's going to be a perfect segue. It's going to be like the Harold and Kumar movies, where literally they take place 30 seconds after the other one ended.
I haven't seen the second one, maybe. That sounds funny.
Maybe next time I'll have learned the intro rap backwards. But don't. Whoa.
If you can do that, man, I will PayPal you some fucking money.
All right, fuck yeah! All right, I'm gonna do it now. I'm gonna learn it.
Do it, and it has to be it has to be the same rhythm. Can't be changing up the rhythm.
I know. I'll keep it the same. I'll do it legit, man.
Just hold the lyric sheet up to a mirror and go from there. You're done.
Really? It's like doing it like Da Vinci. How he wrote, he's like, oh, so no one can steal my work. All right, gang, we're
smarter than everybody.
Peace.
We're out.
Hey, guys.
Psst, yeah. Peace. Bah.
Ah, boy. How has your parkour stuff been going? Like, because I know, oh god, it was probably a while back. This will date me and how long it's been since I've been at the platformers. But, like, right when I was kind of heading out and doing my own thing, it was, you, like, just got on TV?
We've got a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to think.
He has a water bottle. He got a free water bottle. That's
oh,
cool.
Shit.
Like, I help run this site, so we get those and we sell those. But, I'm a part of a team called The Tribe, and we're sponsored by K-Swiss, so I've got, like, 4,000 pairs of shoes in my foyer. More shoes than I know what to do with. I'll probably send you guys some.
Nice.
So we're sponsored by K-Swiss. You know, we get sponsorship money for a certain number of work days, and then extra money. My best friend, you know, one of my good friends, Levi, who won like G4's American Ninja Warrior contest thing, and he was the only guy that made it to stage 3. And he's actually over in Japan now for the next like little competition thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. we do good stuff.
And like, what's your guys' website? Whoa, say it into the mic, hint, hint.
Tribalmovement.com.
Good deal. Yeah, so just so you know, that's going at the end show, like after the music.
Oh my god, what the fuck is that?
Wait.
Jeff, what the fuck is that?
Is that a warning? Like I shouldn't look at
it? No, it's amazing. I don't know.
Oh man, what?